everyone. Welcome to Wood with Handles, a baseball podcast for fans by fans. This is episode 24 for the week of September 23rd. I'm Ryan.
I'm Josh. I want to thank your brother Brad for filling in for me last week. Going forward, at least for probably another 2-3 weeks, I will be spotty on the show. I am moving to the south from Chicago. Currently, my whole apartment is in cardboard boxes right now, other than my computer. So I don't think I'll be on next week's show, and I'm not sure when I will be back on again. But by the playoffs, I'll be back on sometime within there. So how you been in the past 2 weeks?
You know, I've been good. Fall is upon us here in Michigan. Starting to get a little chilly out, which is a welcome addition for me. I like a little bit of cool weather, but it's been good. I mean, baseball-wise, everything's been fun. Everything's heating up. We're right in the thick of it, like right at the final push. So I've been good. Everything's been good with me. So, yeah, I'm ready to go.
How about that Tigers comeback the other day?
Heart-stopping stuff.
I mean, down six
going into the ninth, and they come back and win it. I mean, it's really as good as you get. And then they probably shouldn't have been in that position, but you know that was a hell of a win for them. They really needed it.
Yeah, it was bullshit. I mean, good for the Tigers, but
yeah. Look here, before we get started with any of this stuff, I'm going to ask you this right off the top because I've been waiting to ask you this for a couple weeks now. Is it fair, or do I have the right as a Tigers fan to be mad that they haven't locked up to this position? They can today, but do I have a right to be mad that they haven't locked up the division before right now or today?
I mean, I'm vocally a Tigers hater, and I think the Tigers are better than what they're
playing. Impartially. Answer the question impartially.
Well, yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is I think the Tigers are better than what they're playing. So, yeah, I mean, you have the right to be mad, but I mean, the Indians are a good team. The Indians aren't playing nearly as well as what they are, and the same goes for the Tigers. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think the Royals are as good as we all would like them to be. The White Sox are, and I've said it since June, May, they're the worst team in baseball, even though the record doesn't reflect that. They're the worst team in all of baseball.
And the Twins are pretty abysmal.
Yeah, and the Twins aren't very good. I mean, they're kind of with their trades that they made at the deadline, I mean, they're kind of at a point of rebuilding, rumors of Gardner leaving and all this stuff. So, I mean, you have the right to be mad, but I also think that the Tigers are a lot like the Miami Heat of basketball, where like the Chicago Bulls play the season full tilt and have the best record in all of basketball. But as soon as they get the playoffs, they're dead because they played so hard. Where the Heat are in like fourth place going into the playoffs because they kind of coast there. They know they're the best team. They coast and then they go to the playoffs and they play hard as hell and they barely ever get beat. So I think the Tigers are kind of in that mode where they know they're going to make the playoffs no matter what. Even if somehow they lose every game going forward and the Indians win the division, the Tigers are still taking a wild card spot. So, like, I mean, I think they're kind of coasting it and playing it safe. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
See, and it's weird that you bring that up because here's what's happened in the last few years. The Tigers have always – and well, they had it wrapped up a couple days before the season in the last year because they had that shootout with the White Sox that went down the last couple of weeks. But traditionally, the way it's been with the Tigers is they've always dominated and they've had anything clinched well before they even needed to. So essentially, they're on basically cruise control for a better part of a month or so. And then they lock up the division and then they have like a week to 2 week break before, or a week before they really need to play a meaningful game. And they'd come out and they'd be lazy. They'd be lackadaisical. I don't know if they're doing this on purpose to try and not maybe the sense of urgency is there a little bit at the end of the season. So they play a little bit harder going into the playoffs where they don't want to wrap it up so early and give themselves kind of that, oh, well, we don't really have anything to play for now. Let's just put it on cruise control mode. But, you know, you could be right.
I mean, maybe I don't see it as a bad thing. At this point, I don't think there's an American League team that's going to beat the Tigers. I think the Tigers, in my opinion, are going to the World Series. As I've said in the past few podcasts that I've actually been on, I do not think the Tigers playing at their current state, which I just admitted, I do think they're better than their current state. But I don't think the Tigers at their current state, the way they're currently playing, could beat some of the powerhouse National League teams like the Dodgers or the Braves. I think they would – If the Tigers went into the World Series playing exactly how they are today, they would get swept by the Dodgers.
Oh,
they would get swept by the Braves. But I do believe the Tigers are a better team than what they're currently playing.
Go ahead.
I also have an issue with the Tigers playing Miguel Cabrera right now.
He looks bad.
He should not be playing. plain and simple.
He hit a lazy ground ball in the first inning in tonight's game, and any player with any speed at all probably would have legged it out. The third baseman from – who are they playing tonight? It's Minnesota.
Yep.
Whoever the third baseman is, because I don't even know who the hell is on that team anymore. Whoever the third baseman is, basically it was a lazy ground ball, and all he had to do was walk to the ball, pick it up, and throw it because Miguel Cabrera wasn't more than two steps out of the box. And he got thrown out by a good 30 feet or so.
Yeah, I mean – I think it's foolish that he's playing. He's playing to potentially get another triple crown. Dude, he's
they
not going to
shut him down a month.
He's not going to get it. Plain and simple. He's nowhere near catching up to Chris Davis at this point.
They should have shut him down a month ago.
Chris Davis dipped a little bit, and now he's back. I mean, he's hitting home runs fairly frequently.
He's 52 right now.
Yeah, he's 52 right now. I mean, Cabrera's not catching him. He's done. Let him play like the last game of the season so he goes into it with a little bit of, like, game time. I mean, he's not so lazy, but, like, Miguel Cabrera is not going to be hindered by sitting on the bench for, what, we don't even have a week left, 6 days. I mean, he just sit the man. I mean, he's hurt. He is hurt, like, clear as day, hurt. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's still taking batting practice. He's moving around. I just don't believe that you're going to say that he needs to play in games to keep him in game shape. But the way he's out there playing right now, he physically cannot move.
Yeah.
Cannot move, and I see it, you see it, and you don't watch as many games as I do.
Nope.
So if you can see it, then anybody can see it.
Yeah, I mean,
if you can't move around, he needs to be sitting there. They probably should have shut him down a week or a month ago. Let him keep getting his swings in at batting practice, maybe simulate some game situations in practice, but they just can't have him risk a deeper injury during a game.
Well, I mean, with the Tigers having a semi-weak bullpen, I mean, it's getting better. Benoit's pretty good, but he's not great.
27 or 28 to 28. He's basically at 100% this year.
I still wouldn't. As a Tigers fan, you should not be okay with their bullpen.
And, no, absolutely not.
And if with the state of their bullpen, if Miguel Cabrera is not 100% going into the World Series, the Dodgers or the Braves are going to walk all over them, plain and simple. I don't care what Tigers fans say. You can be as close-minded and delusional as you want to be, and you can say that I'm being a hater. I don't care what you say. The facts are, without Miguel Cabrera, you are not winning a World Series against a team like the Dodgers or the Braves. It's just not going to happen.
No, you're right. And can I just throw this out there? If the Tigers wouldn't have gone through the Bruce Rondon, Jose Valverde experiment this year, they'd have had this division clinched up a couple weeks ago, but those blown games, they're all in the past, but they'd have been there. But you're absolutely right. Cabrera needs to be at 90%.
Yeah.
I mean,
at least.
Basically, an 80% Miguel Cabrera is better than a lot of guys in the league.
Yeah.
But at playoff times, they need him to be there. They need him to be ready. And maybe he will be. Maybe he's just kind of he's in there getting his swings, going through the motion.
I mean,
and he'll come on hot in the playoffs. But for right now, I don't think it's a good idea for him to be out there playing.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't know the impact that Peralta is going to have when he comes back. If they're going to let him play. We don't even know
how. The rumor is they're going to let him come back only if he can play in left field.
Okay.
And if he can't play in left field, there's no use in having him because they need his bat. They do.
Yeah.
But they're going to put him in left, and that's basically the only thing they're going to use him for.
But, I mean, maybe his bat will be strong enough and he'll make up for the Cabrera injury. And I mean, maybe all this that I'm saying about without Miguel Cabrera, they're nothing. Maybe I'm just high and I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But
no, you said it. I mean, 2 weeks ago you said it and you can see it. The complexion of the team changes. The way pitchers face the lineup changes when he's not in there.
Yeah.
Everything changes when Cabrera is not there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I keep saying Dodgers and the Braves, but to me, the Dodgers and the Braves are the two best teams in baseball. And, I mean, they have great pitching, including bullpen. They're amazing offensively hitting. The Braves don't hit so many home runs, but they get a lot of hits. And, I mean, they're a good defensive team. They don't really have much weakness on defense, either team. I don't see the Tigers beating them without 100% Miguel Cabrera. Or, I mean, I did admit that I don't think the Tigers are playing 100%. I think they are kind of on coast mode, and, I mean, that's fine. But if they play at this mode, which they are currently playing against a team like the Dodgers or the Braves, they don't stand a chance.
No, you're right. I agree with you.
Yeah. Speaking of Dodgers and the Braves, the Dodgers, Braves, Red Sox, and the A's all clinched the playoff spots so far.
Over the weekend.
Yeah, the Tigers have a chance to do it tonight as well as like
and the Cardinals will probably do it tonight or possibly later in the week.
So whenever you guys are listening to this, it probably already happened and we didn't know because we're recording while these games are happening. But we're going to go off the assumption that the Dodgers, Braves, Red Sox, and A's have currently clinched. I don't think there's much shock in the Dodgers or the Braves. Nobody is catching the Dodgers, and with the exception of the Nationals being pretty damn good lately, nobody is catching the Braves. The Red Sox, I mean, to me that's kind of a shocker. I mean, that's a tough division. The Rays, I mean, are playing pretty good. The Yankees have been playing really good. The Orioles are kind of a lost cause at this point, but I mean, it seems like a tough division, but I mean, they have a really good record. I feel like they kind of flew under the radar a little bit.
The Red Sox?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And a lot of it was they pounded the hell out of the ball. They had really good pitching all year. There hasn't been a lot of weakness in them this year, and they ran away with it early. That was the thing.
It's because they have really good beards.
Yeah, that might be. But they're giving dollar tickets to people who showed up with beards the other day to games. Really, that's weird.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I know, isn't it? I love everything about that. Yeah, I wish more teams would do stuff like that because that's super cool.
That's so great.
Yeah, but the Red Sox have been kind of – they had this division locked up for such a long time that I think the reason you say is they've blown under the radar is because everybody just expected them to win. And
yeah, I mean
they've had a hell of a turnaround. They went from last to first last year, and you can tell it's all in the managerial change.
Yep.
So that was the huge – that was the thing. They brought in the new manager. God, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. I feel so stupid.
The new manager? Or are you talking about Bobby Valentine?
Well, getting rid of Valentine, and then I forget what the guy's name is.
Yeah, way to go.
It's right there. But, yeah, that was the big move, is bringing in the new managerial change. And then they went back to being the Red Sox of old, where they pounded the hell out of the ball. They played good defense, and they got good pitching when they needed to. It hasn't been great, but it's been good when they needed it to, and that's all you can ask for.
I like the Red Sox a lot. I don't think they stand – even at my quote-unquote Tigers coasting it level, I still think the Tigers would – sweep them or win it in five. I mean, they don't stand a chance against it. They're a good team. They really are, but, like, they've kind of gotten lucky. I mean, their pitching isn't really all that great. I mean, it is. It has been, but it shouldn't be on paper going into the season. You look at their pitching, you're like, wow, it's good, but, I mean, it's not great level. It's not
tight. Buckholz was out for quite a while.
Still
pursued the division.
Well, and he's not even – I mean, he had those great starts and everybody thought he was cheating. And then he got hurt, and now he hasn't really been what he was. Jake Peavy's there now, but, I mean...
Peavy's been a good addition.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good addition for them, but, I mean, Peavy's like their fourth guy. I mean, they've had a lot of great pitching, but, like, on paper, you'd be like, wow, this shouldn't really be a phenomenal team, and they have been. And, I mean, good for them. I mean, it's... Nothing but positive for them.
I know. There's not a whole lot that you can reflect on other than, hey, it's been good. You know, you went from last place to first place.
Well,
and there's not a whole lot you can say about them. I guess the A's have been kind of one of the hotter teams in baseball over the last couple months. Granted, Texas has completely blown it. They fell apart.
That's what they do every year.
They've essentially crumbled to pieces. They played themselves out of anything that they were in. And they're still kind of in it, assuming things. Cleveland just has to keep winning. But, I mean... The A's have been really good, and the crazy A's fans are back because they're playing well again. They wrapped it up, but they're going to have a first round meeting with the Tigers. And I said it last week, and I know we're kind of on different spectrum, but the A's are playing well right now. I think they have a chance against the Tigers. I really do.
I don't, but I mean, it would be cool. I'm a Tigers hater, so I would love to see the Tigers get their ass beat by the A's, but I don't think it's going to happen. The A's are a really good team.
They are.
I mean, both the Red Sox and the A's have kind of flown under the radar with how good they are. I mean, they're just really good teams and solid records. The Red Sox had for a long time the best record in all of baseball. I believe
the A's crept up there too.
Yeah, I mean, these are really good teams with really great records, and I mean, good pitching and good hitting and good defense. I mean, everything is good about these teams. And I still don't think the Red Sox or the A's stand a chance against the Tigers. I mean, the Tigers are just a really good team. They have amazing starting pitching. I don't like Verlander, but with Scherzer and Sanchez, I mean,
the only hope I have for Verlander this year is that he didn't throw himself out this year. It's because normally what happens is he throws so many innings, he taxes himself so much during the year that essentially he's dead when playoff time comes around. And I don't think you got all of that really fatiguing long marathon battle from him this year to where he didn't overthrow himself. He didn't throw too many pitches.
Yeah.
He wasn't killing himself during the year. So hopefully he has a little gas left in the tank when the playoffs roll around.
But I mean, if you're talking about a good starting three between Scherzer, who just got his 20th win, and Sanchez, and then even if you say Verlander, after that, I mean, that's
well, they're gonna, I think they're probably going to go with four. It's probably going to be Scherzer, Verlander, Sanchez, and Pfister in that order.
Oh.
But who knows? They could go with three. I think they'll go with four. And then probably what they'll do is I think they'll keep Porcello, throw him in the bullpen, and then they'll have a long reliever between him and Smiley.
Okay. I mean,
I don't know. It's all speculation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think either of those American League teams stand a chance against the Tigers, but I could be wrong. I mean, I would love to see the A's beat them. I would love to see the Red Sox turn it around and go all the way to the World Series this year after being the joke of baseball last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it would all be great, but I just don't see it happening, plain and simple. And I don't see if the Rays are going wild card, and what would it be, Rays in Cleveland? I definitely don't see Cleveland leaving Detroit. And I just, maybe the Rays, but like.
No, whoever wins this wild card, I don't think is going to beat, whoever wins the wild card is going to play Boston.
Yeah.
So whoever, essentially here, this is what you get for winning the wild card. You're going to have a date with Oakland, or with Boston.
Yeah,
so,
but I mean, Boston would kill the Indians, but I think they'd struggle against the Rays. I think the Rays.
I don't know.
Boston,
I think the Rays are taxed, to be honest with you. They've exerted so much energy in this into this run that they've been on. I just think they're taxed.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it wouldn't shock me, but I don't know.
They'll beat Cleveland. I think Tampa Bay will beat Cleveland.
Oh yeah. I don't think Cleveland deserves to be in the playoffs the way they played the first half of the season. I think they're a good team, but they played the beginning of the season.
Essentially, they've kind of got in by default because Texas has fallen so far.
Yeah.
And because they're down, they've essentially just imploded.
Yeah.
Which I really love because I hate Texas. But
I love to see him choke every year. I feel bad for Ron Washington because I like him a lot.
His job.
I like him a lot, and I hope he gets a job somewhere where he can actually win a championship, but they do this every year.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have they been to the playoffs?
Well, luckily they did it this year before they got into the playoffs, where last year they just collapsed during the playoff game and all hell broke loose, and yeah. Hamilton left and everything. And, yeah, well, this year they did a little quicker.
Yeah. I just – it's interesting. On the other side of the league, the National League, obviously we've sung our praise for the Dodgers and the Braves. We're both vocally Dodgers fans.
They're going to the World Series. I believe it.
I mean, it's going to be, in my opinion, Braves-Dodgers National League Championship. And, I mean, either team could go. I think the Dodgers are a far superior team. But we all know just because you have the better team, it doesn't matter. It's all about who plays better in that series. And the Braves could – the Braves could do it. They really could. But usually, historically, the East Coast teams struggle playing on the West Coast. I believe the Dodgers did end up with the better schedule or the better record. Somebody's going to correct me on that and tell me I'm wrong. But that would give the Dodgers home field against the Braves. So they're
nope. Backwards. The Braves are the number one seed over there.
Okay.
So the Braves will play the winner of whoever is
wild card.
It's a wild card.
Okay.
I
don't know that the Braves could beat the Dodgers, but if any team can beat the Dodgers other than the Tigers, it's going to be the Braves. And I think either team are going to give the Tigers a hard time in the World Series or any American League team. Let's say the Red Sox make it or the A's or any of the possibilities. I just think the National League is a far superior league, and I think the Dodgers and the Braves are far superior to any of the American League teams at this point.
I don't know if you listened to the show last week, but I said it. I think that the Braves are going to be the best team to get beat in the first round. I don't think they can. It depends. Well, okay, depends on who they play. I think that St. Louis will definitely beat. Who is it? Not St. Louis. St. Louis is going to play Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So I think that definitely Cincinnati or Pittsburgh could beat the Braves. I don't like the Braves very much. I think they've been on cruise control for way too long. they don't hit, when they don't hit home runs, they don't play all that well. They don't score many runs. And they had the division seemingly sewn up for so long that they haven't had to really worry about it. And they haven't been they went on that run, that ridiculous run in the middle of the season. I forget what it was and how many ever games they won. But I think that they're probably the most vulnerable of those teams. And granted that St. Louis does win the division, I think that St. Louis-Dodgers series is going to be a hell of a slugout. But I think the Dodgers are definitely my World Series pick.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to choose today, I have the Dodgers-Tigers going to the World Series, and I have Dodgers winning in no more than five games. The Dodgers are so good. It would take a massive injury, it would take Kershaw getting hurt. Yeah. Before I would even, their pitching is so good. Between Kershaw and Greinke and Ryu and Nolasco. I mean, they're pitching, and I mean, their bullpen's awesome too. I mean, their closers, I don't know what you said, Benoit. You said 28 for 28 with Benoit. I believe they're like 21 for something with their closer. I mean, they have a good closer. They have a good relief pitchers. I mean, I love the Dodgers. Full running hard on this Dodgers.
Did you enjoy the Arizona celebration the other day?
Loved every moment of it.
I figured you would.
And people are pissed. And this goes back to my rant about 3-4 weeks ago.
Then maybe goddamn Arizona shouldn't suck so much.
Who cares?
Protect your home
field. It was fun. It did nothing to hurt anybody.
And I'm pretty sure that you loved McCain's.
Oh,
tweet, and then Brian Wilson's
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they told him not to celebrate on the field, so they didn't celebrate on the field.
What celebrated in the pool?
Yeah, that's not the field.
That was pretty awesome. So cool.
Just people just need to grow up. I mean, the Dodgers
that's
make
what
baseball's fun.
About. You know, people that when they win their division, they're having fun. It's emotion. I mean, come on, really? What's that pool out there for looks? Let the Dodgers have their fun. They deserve it. They came back. They played well. They've been the best team in baseball for a long time. Let them have their fun for a night.
And if we know one thing about the Dodgers, they don't give a fuck what you say.
No.
If you're going to tell them not to celebrate on the field, I'm surprised they didn't celebrate on the field. Yeah. I mean,
they've kind of taken up that San Francisco mantra from when San Francisco was good.
Yeah, I mean, just they don't give a fuck and they'll do whatever they want. And I mean, they're fun.
They're really fun.
Grow up if you don't like them. For real. Fight me about it. People have on our Twitter argued with me, but like the Dodgers are the most fun team in baseball right now. Top end. They are what they make baseball so exciting to watch. And
the two exciting teams that I want to watch right now are the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Nationals. For me, right there. But yeah. Dodgers, bar none, are probably the funnest team to watch.
Yeah. I mean, it's just they're fun. It was great. I knew instantly as soon as I heard about it, because obviously in Chicago we don't really get Dodgers games, and I didn't see it, but I got the update that they won or whatever, and then our old buddies over at MLB Memes had posted, and I was like, that's great. And instantly I knew people were going to be pissed, and sure as shit. How disrespectful. Dude, fuck off.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, grow up. It's
they have to let them have their fun. That's what baseball is about. Baseball is about fun. Part of being the game is being a kid. They're essentially just big kids playing a kid's game, you know.
Yeah.
Let them have their fun. They came all the way back. They've worked their ass off all year. They deserve it. Come on. I mean, if Arizona's going to get so pissed over it, for goddamn sake, protect your home field, you know. Win a few more games here and there. Don't implode on yourself. Like, just come on. Let them have their fun. This would be no different. What would happen if they won a game seven in a World Series over in Arizona?
Yep.
Or somewhere else and the same thing happened? Would people be pissed then? No.
Yes.
But it's because probably because it's the Dodgers. But, I mean, let them have their fun for a night. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I loved it. You were just talking about your Nationals, though, and they've been playing really, really good.
Yeah, this was the Nationals you wanted to see all year.
Yeah.
And they finally come around, but too little too late.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they don't really stand a chance.
But that's not the story here. Davey Johnson's going to be – is that his name? I think that's his name. Davey Johnson's going to be leaving the team at the end of the year because essentially he resigned because he didn't see things were going well, which brings me up to my next point. There's been a few coaching vacant – or that's going to be one coming up. But the biggest name I've heard possibly connected to that is Joe Girardi. There's rumors of it right now for Girardi. People think he's going to stay in New York, but they're not positive. So if Girardi leaves, it's the two teams I've heard are the Cubs and the Nationals. Ugh. And I just pray to God that he comes to Washington. Oh my God, that would be so awesome.
I've heard, because everyone talks about Dale Swain losing his job here in Chicago, and
He's gone. I think he's.
I don't think he is. I really don't think he is. Like, everyone keeps focusing on, like, oh, he has this review coming up. Every single coach in baseball gets an end of the season review. All of them, even the World Series champion. If Don Mattingly wins the World Series this year, he will have to sit down with Ned Coletti and have a review of how he did his job this year. And frankly, from what we know from the end of the season, that won't be a very good review. I don't think Dale Swain's going to lose his job. If we know anything about the way that Theo Epstein does things, he doesn't just jump on things like that. He's going to give him his time. He's only had 1 year. I don't think he'll make it past next season, but I do think Dale Swain will be the Cubs manager next year.
And you're more closely connected because you're right in Chicago right now. But I've heard there's been a lot of indecisiveness, kind of a lot of apprehension on Theo's part. They haven't really given him a ringing endorsement that I know of. No. And I think they don't really see eye to eye on a lot of things. So that's what kind of leads me to believe that he's going to be gone. And if I know there's anything right now, I think Cubs fans are probably getting a little bit impatient.
Cubs fans don't care. They don't care about baseball.
Okay. Maybe they don't. But if I was a Cubs fan, I'd be getting real impatient by now. But I think right now, I mean, you saw what Theo did, and it took him a minute to build what he did in Boston. So I think he's slowly starting to build that team up. But
yeah, I mean they're gonna
need a coach that's going to be able to do it. And whether Girardi's hometown is in Chicago, so that's why they say that they think he might be there. But he's got roots in Washington, and apparently there's a big part of him that I've heard could be connected to that. That's if he even leaves New York.
I think Girardi will stay in New York. I think Swain will stay in Chicago.
But if he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting. I like Girardi. I have no issue with him. He's handled especially all the A-Rod stuff very well this year. And I mean, he obviously has done a phenomenal job as a manager. As much as I am a Yankees hater, I mean, bravo to him for
– Girardi's coach of the year for me.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got it.
Bravo to him for doing what he's done with
– The only other person that might be in that race is Francona.
I mean, I like Francona, but he hasn't been really – I mean, I can't give him a lot of credit for what he's done this year. They kind of built a super team that sucked.
Yeah.
And now they're stumbling their way into the playoffs at this point.
Girardi has managed his ass off this year.
I mean,
and like, if there's any doubt of his ability as a coach, I think he answered it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like Girardi. I have no issues with him. He's handled the bad and the even worse really well this year. Good for him. I would agree with Coach of the Year. The only person I'd put above him would be, I mean, I don't know that I could. I mean, maybe Robin Ventura. I'm a White Sox fan, obviously, so I really like Robin Ventura. He does a really good job with the bullshit that he has here. And, I mean, he is always kind of in that talk. Last year he was, I believe he came in second place for Manager of the Year, and he was a bench coach or something for Leland this year, I mean, for the All-Star game. And, I mean, I like him a lot, but, I mean, I really like Girardi. I think for what he's done, it's been amazing. He won't win it, though. Don Mattingly will win it.
There's a manager in every division. I mean, if he doesn't win it, the only other person I can put above him, maybe Francona, but John Farrell from Boston.
Yeah.
And he's probably maybe the most obvious choice. But I think what Girardi has done is he's been a better coach than what Farrell's done. Because Farrell inherited a good team that was poorly managed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Cleveland has made a good run as well as the Nationals. Obviously, Francona is a good coach. They have some good players. I think Nick Swisher played like shit this whole year and all of a sudden has been playing very good, which, I mean, I wouldn't say Nick Swisher is carrying them to the playoffs, but, I mean, he's talented. I mean, it's a big deal when someone of that level doesn't play well, and now he's playing pretty well. So, good for them. I don't have much to say about it. I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about it either. I think they basically won the war of attrition. They just had to. They had to wait for Texas to collapse, and that's what's happened. I mean, yeah, Cleveland does have somewhat of a talented lineup. Because I mean, Swisher. But I mean, Jason Kipnis was an All-Star, I believe. They had another one. I forget who it was, but wasn't Michael Bourne, was it? But Michael Bourne was a big pickup for them. But I mean, when your first guys, your number one pitcher is Ubaldo Jimenez, I mean, you can't put too much hope on that. Yeah. And then they've got, you know, I just, they basically waited around for Texas to collapse, and they just, yeah, they've won a lot of games and they've kept winning, but I think it's been more about Texas's collapse than Cleveland winning.
Yeah, I agree. One of the bigger things that happened, and we try to keep our news as A-Rod free as we can, but,
can't.
Yeah,
can't.
I mean, can't, but for the first time since he, shit, all year.
This is a big, the first big news since the steroid controversy. Well,
this is the first positive A-Rod news that we've had. About him all year, frankly. I mean, well, there's been nothing but bad news about
him. And it's probably the most positive news you're going to hear about him for a while.
I mean, I would like to take it with a grain of salt as an A-Rod hater, but A-Rod has just passed Lou Gehrig for the all-time Grand Slam leader.
It's a lot of home runs, man. A lot of Grand Slams.
It is. But I would like to pull the what everybody does with Barry Bonds. I want an asterisk next to it. You got caught, man.
I can't argue with that.
Lou Gehrig did it for real. And people say back then everyone was doing other drugs, but plain and simple, that shit wasn't illegal then. Lou Gehrig did it all natural, quote unquote. We don't really know. Nobody was alive then or taking drug tests, but in theory, Lou Gehrig did it.
Drugs weren't even invented back then.
but I
agree with you. I agree with you, man.
I mean, I'm a Barry Bonds fan, and I hate when
It's weird that you're a Barry Bonds fan, but yet you despise A-Rod. And essentially, Barry Bonds was the earlier version of A-Rod because he lied his whole way.
He lied his whole way, but it wasn't illegal then.
Most of the time, it wasn't illegal.
It was.
Didn't they make it a policy shortly before he retired?
No.
Okay. Well,
he did everything. Everything was on steroids, but he was.
They weren't testing.
Yeah, I could be wrong. They weren't testing. He never got caught with anything. He later was taken to court under like the Roger Clemens thing, and he lied in front of a grand jury. He said then. That's what he's in trouble for. If he would have admitted, he would be in the same boat that Roger Clemens or Mark McGwire is, where they're, I mean, Mark McGwire coaches for the Dodgers right now. And I mean, he's been a good addition for them. I mean,
Clemens tried to make a comeback.
Yeah. I mean, he would have been all good, but now he's, I don't even know if he's a fish.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, if you look at it that way, anybody who's used steroids and they admitted to it have really come away and been like, oh, okay, well, we forgive you now. I mean, Sammy Sosa didn't admit to it. Everybody knows he did it. It's been out of baseball, but McGuire's back coaching. He kind of half-ass admitted to it. McGuire's back coaching. Pettit's been back. Giambi.
Cologne.
Yeah, Cologne. Those guys all admitted to it. And the guys right now that are currently suspended have all taken their suspensions, and apparently people will welcome them back.
Yeah.
It's the whole lying thing that gets you there.
Yeah. Yeah. Bonds is in trouble for lying to the U.S. court.
The grand jury. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't lie to baseball. He lied to the United States government. That's what he's in trouble for. He didn't ever get caught or do anything wrong in baseball. I would, no matter what, be an A-Rod hater. I'm more than willing to admit that. But I would have much more respect for A-Rod if he would have did what Ryan Braun did.
Yeah, I agree. I wish A-Rod would just come out and say, I took steroids. Like, just let's move on. Come on.
Yeah, man. Dude, you did it. You're caught.
Yeah. Everybody knows he did. Like, essentially right now, he's just trying to, quote-unquote, get his money and kind of get his sentence reduced. And I think after everything's said and done, he'll come out and say, yeah, I did it. But I wanted to hear that months ago, and I know you've wanted to hear that for a long time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's our last little bit of A-Rod news.
Yeah, good for A-Rod. I take it with a grain of salt. I mean,
yeah,
a bulk of those Grand Slams, not all of them, because I believe he started his career clean. I believe he was clean until probably the end of Texas-ish.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Somewhere around there.
He really bulked up after that.
Yeah, I mean, so I wouldn't say all of his Grand Slams are fraudulent, but I would say the ones that he got in New York until this year were fraudulent. And I mean, whatever, he did it. It's over. I don't think you should take it away from him, because I don't think anybody should take Barry Bonds' record away. But now people like Chris Davis are saying, like, oh, the real record is, what's he say? I think it's 56 or something like that, which was, I forgot whose it was. Like
Hank Aaron.
Yeah, no, Hank Aaron was like 61 or something like that, or 62. And
was it DiMaggio?
It's DiMaggio. Chris Davis acknowledges DiMaggio's as the real is the real home run.
And there's a chance. There's a very real chance that Chris Davis could hit that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think you should take Bonds away. I think it should be there to be recognized that it did happen. But, I mean, people want an asterisk next to it. That's fine. As a Bonds fan, I'm okay with that. I mean, Bonds to me, the reason I think I like Bonds so much, because my childhood, sure, Bonds is older than me, and he was playing before I was old enough to comprehend sports. But through my, like, getting into baseball adult life where I, like, fully understood the...
Yeah, he was kind of the guy that he looked up to. Yeah,
he was he was the one. I mean, it was Barry Bonds. I mean, people they changed the way they played against the Giants because of Bonds. I mean, it got to the point where you didn't throw to Bonds. Even if the bases were loaded, you walked.
I mean, he set like an all-time record in one season for walks. I mean,
yeah, come on. I mean,
and that's because people were just afraid to deal with him.
Yeah, and I mean, there was games that I watched where there was bases loaded and they would intentionally walk Bonds.
Yeah.
Because it was easier to walk the one guy in than it was for him to hit a grand slam.
I think, didn't he get walked with bases loaded before?
Yeah, it happened many times. Like, because like I said, it's easier for them to walk him with bases loaded and let the one guy come in than Bonds to hit a grand slam.
True story. And
I mean, that's nuts. I mean, we're getting that a little bit with Miguel Cabrera nowadays. I mean,
but not close, not even close to what they were doing with him.
And I mean, I think that's why I like it. I would respect A-Rod worlds more if he just said, you know what, I cheated.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. I cheated and I won't do it again. I'm really sorry.
And I think what's going to happen is after he retires, he's going to look back on this whole thing and be like, yeah, I probably should have done that. And he's going to see what his reputation is, going to see how people perceive him. He's going to sit there and he's going to reflect on it and be like, yeah, maybe I should have come out and just said, hey, I did it. And then it would have been done.
Speaking of retiring, Andy Pettitte announced he was going to retire after this year. About damn time. He's too old and he's not that good anymore. And the big retirement of the year, Mariano Rivera, which we all love, even us Yankees haters.
Out with a bang yesterday.
Yeah. Woo. Big day at Mariano Rivera Day at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Metallica, video tributes. They retired his number. He's, by the way, he's going to be the very last player to ever wear the number 42.
Obviously.
Metallica was there. They played Enter Sandman live. They had a video tribute. Anybody who was a Yankees notable, all of his coaches from that time, whoever played with him, everybody was there. It was a huge celebration and just a great day all around. And we've talked about it, we discussed it before. If you don't even remotely like the Yankees, this had to make you feel good.
Oh, absolutely. I will say I'm the captain of the Yankees hater ship, and I love Mariano Rivera. He's a good guy. He's not a scumbag. He's not a piece of shit. And I'm not saying every Yankee is, but a lot of them are. And I really like Mariano Rivera. I really do. Plain and simple. He's awesome. He's the greatest closer to ever play the game. I mean, and some people argue that the closer really isn't – it's just the closer. But, I mean, the closer is – especially nowadays, past couple of years, baseball's really turned into a pitcher's game. And, I mean, that – make it or break it. Ask the Tigers right now.
Yeah. Would you be – I know there's a lot of people who won't say this. He's going to go down as the greatest closer of all the time.
Yeah.
I've actually got two questions for you. He's going to go down as the greatest closer of all times. My first question, do you consider him to be one of the best pitchers? Not closers, but one of the best pitchers of all time.
I mean, maybe. Like, not top five or anything. But, I mean, if I was assembling a list of, like, 100 or 50 greatest pitchers of all time, yeah, he'd probably be on there.
Okay. Question number two. Do you think he'll be the very first player to ever get in with a unanimous vote to the Hall of Fame? Never been done before.
Someone's going to say something.
Somebody's going to – I don't think he will.
Yeah.
Because there's
someone's going to be like, well, he was just –
going to be like, it's tradition. Nobody ever gets in with 100%. Nobody ever gets in unanimous. Yeah. I mean, Babe Ruth never got in with unanimous. Hank Aaron never got in unanimously. And I think somebody's going to be the one jackass out there. It's going to be like, well, it was never unanimous. But I think if there's anybody that's almost a sure lock for it, it's got to be him.
Yeah, I mean, he deserves it. I mean, he's just awesome. I mean, He struggled a little bit after the All-Star game there. He had, like, what, those, like, four or five games in a row.
I think he's just emotionally drained. I think everything – it's taken its toll on him.
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't discount that at all. I mean, A, he's old.
Yeah.
I mean, for him to play at the level he is right now at his age
– that's all kind of unbelievable.
Yeah, that's already phenomenal. But, like, I mean, good for him. Awesome. I wish I could have been there. I know our good friend.
Me too.
Friend, old Bullpen Betty, said she was going. I'm sure she had a good time there.
Betty, if you're listening to this, send us those pictures.
Yeah, I mean.
We want to see them.
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool. We didn't really discuss Pettitte retiring because I don't think there's much to say.
I have one thing.
He's not very good. And
well, he's not very good, but I mean. I watched the highlight from when he got the standing ovation yesterday walking off the field, and you can see the emotion, and Jeter was the first one there to kind of hug him, you know, congratulate him on his career. But do you think this is going to be, I mean, far overshadowed? Do you think it's going to be like, well, Mariano Rivera retired, he had this year, and then there's Andy Pettitte?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be overshadowed.
Do you think the Yankees told him not to announce it until the last few weeks of the season, not to overshadow Mariano?
No. I just think that he wasn't sure and he sucked enough where he's like, I don't want to go through this again. And I mean, plain and simple, Andy Pettitte had some really good years, but Andy Pettitte is not Mariano Rivera.
No, not by.
I mean, I don't care what anybody says. Sure, he sucked this year because he's old and he was hurt and he retired and then he came back and all that stuff. But Andy Pettitte at his prime was not Mariano Rivera in his retiring year.
No, but he was still a pretty important piece to some of those Yankees runs.
Absolutely. I'm not saying he's terrible. I'm just saying he's not Mariano Rivera, and he never was.
Yeah.
It's just good for him. I mean, he had a good career. I mean, he made some money, won some championships, played on arguably the greatest franchise in all of baseball, and good for him.
He's going to take pride in what he does, and when he looks back, he's going to reflect. And he had a hell of a career, but, I mean, like you said, it's not Mariano Rivera, and he probably doesn't deserve – and a lot of people say that Mariano Rivera – probably shouldn't even have taken a whole year as a goodbye tour, the thank you tour, receiving all these gifts. A lot of people hate that.
Chipper Jones did it.
Yeah, I know. Chipper Jones did it.
And he's a racist asshole.
Oh, he sure is. Cal Ripken did it, Cal Ripken probably deserved it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, there's been guys who did it before him. But, I mean, Mariano Rivera deserved it. If there's anybody that deserved it, it was him.
Yeah, I mean.
And Pettitte, yeah, it's going to get overshadowed, but probably rightfully so. I'm not taking anything away from Andy Pettitte. What he did and what he meant to the Yankees all those years, but it's just not as big of a thing as Mariano Rivera.
Question: what do the 2014 New York Yankees look like?
Different, way different. Obviously, you're going to see no A-Rod. Jeter will probably be back, although he's probably going to be back at like a shell of himself or the corpse previously known as Derek Jeter. Cano is possibly up in the air. I keep saying that he's up in the air right now because he apparently wants an 8-year deal, and the Yankees have been said they only want to give him 7, if that. Girardi's up in the air right now, and then they don't have a really solid lineup around him. I mean, it's going to be a completely different team. I think that, and I've actually heard a lot of people say that the future of the New York Mets is a lot brighter than the future of the Yankees right now, and I think it's going to be the while before the Yankees get back to being prominent and being that contending team that they always were. It's going to be a much different complexion moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that you kind of bundled into that one statement there, starting with Robinson Cano. Robinson Cano left his agent, Scott Boras, to be covered by Jay-Z. Yeah. Which I love. I'm a big fan of Jay-Z as a musician and as a business person. I think Jay-Z is one of the smartest businessmen.
But before you go any farther, if Cano stays with, what was his face, Boras, there's no way he comes back to New York next year because he's going to get everything that he can. But keep going.
I think Jay-Z is a good businessman. I don't think he's going to lose anything by going to Jay-Z and leaving Boras. I think opposite of what you just said, I think he will stay with New York if he was with Boras, because Boras does this with all of his clients. We don't sign the contract. We're going to go play the field, make everyone nervous, and then the Yankees are like, okay, we'll give you 8 years. and then that's what happens. So I think there's a good chance he will be a New York Yankee next year.
Did you hear the rumor? You're going to get excited by this one.
Okay, let me have it.
This is just a very, very early rumor, and it's all speculation so far. But the very early rumor is Cano possibly to the Dodgers next season.
They got the money. They're spending money like that.
I mean, they said the only few teams that have the money possibly right now are the Dodgers, the Yankees, and I would probably throw the Tigers in there just because they need a second baseman in there, and they've always got a shit ton of money. But Angels. They said the only few teams right now that possibly have the money are Los Angeles Dodgers, Astros, and the Yankees.
Astros.
And he won't go to the Astros. He wants to play for somebody that's going to win.
Hey, I didn't say he would go there. I'm just saying you said the only teams that have the money. The Astros have the money to buy a fucking team at this point.
Yeah.
They're what, $20 million salary last year? Adrian Gonzalez makes more than that every year.
Right.
I mean, but.
No, but the only two teams that have the money that he'd want to play for are LA and New York. And right now, those are the two teams that I think he could land.
I'll speed up through my Cano rant. I like that Cano with Jay-Z. I don't think he's going to lose much with him. I like Jay-Z as a business person.
I do too.
I think Jay-Z is just flies under the radar as a great businessman. Good for him for going out there. My next rant is I think 8-year contracts, 9-year, 10-year contracts are stupid.
Prince Fielder's in the middle of a 9-year contract right now.
But still, Prince Fielder's about the only one that's working out in baseball right now.
But he's young
now.
Still.
He's young. You don't know what Prince Fielder's going to be like at year 7.
Yeah.
You have no way of knowing that.
I think Cano right now is like 30, 31.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what he's going to be like when he's nearly 40 years old. Like, how can you give this man an 8-year contract? Any team, even the Dodgers, who are fucking throwing money around like they can't possibly get rid of it fast enough, I think it'd be stupid. They don't need a second baseman that bad.
The Angels are really going to love that 10-year contract they gave to Pujols, too, right?
Well, yeah, and fucking Josh Hamilton's on a really ridiculously long contract, too. It's like 5 or 6 years. Like, if I was a GM, and I wouldn't be because the way that baseball is now is all about the long, forever long, big contracts, but, like, I'm not interested in a long contract. I'm interested in 2 years, 3 years. Like, I don't know what you're going to be like in 8 years. 8 years? I've only lived in the city of Chicago for 6 years, and I feel like I've been here for fucking ever.
I know, right?
I just, like, you don't know what that's going to be like. Give them a ton of money. I would rather give you a 3-year contract with a $300 million contract than an 8-year contract for $200 million.
Look, and here's the thing about Cano, and Cano is probably, well, arguably one of the best second basemen in the league. Yeah. I'd put him up there with, like, Brandon Phillips and a couple other guys.
I'd say he's the best.
Cano hasn't been known as really one of the most athletic guys at second base. He's one of the best. He's one of the most flawless. But he already doesn't run. And he's kind of admitted that he doesn't want to be the guy that's sprinting out ground balls. He's not playing as hard as he possibly can. If he doesn't do that at 30, what's going to make you think that he's going to be any better at 33, 35, 38?
Well, he's going to turn into a DH. I mean,
yeah, possibly.
I mean, that's where he's headed. But, like, I don't know. I am not a fan of those big, long contracts. I like Prince Fielder. If I like one Tiger, it's Prince Fielder. I still don't like the big, long contract with Prince Fielder.
The thing the big, long contracts don't take into account is injury. I mean, anybody can get injured at any time, and it can screw up a couple seasons. Take, for instance, I mean, Manny Machado's on a rookie contract right now. But, I mean, he tore his ACL. He's going to be out probably most, if not all, of next season.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what's his face? And I just said Pujols. Didn't play well all season. He had the leg injury. I mean, he's probably going to come back next season.
Yeah.
But he's older now. I mean, and all those injuries take a toll on you. You're not what you used to be in year one or two, or even when now Pujols. He was one of the best hitters. He got that huge contract. And all of a sudden things have kind of, if not fallen apart for him a little bit. And maybe it's because he's been unhealthy, and we have yet to see what he's going to be like as a healthy player with the Angels. But there's always that chance that maybe he just never regains that form that he was in.
I mean, if someone wants to give him that money, good for them. I think the Dodgers would spend that money, but I don't think they need to. I don't think they're hurting for hits, and I definitely don't think they're hurting at second base. So, I don't see the point of spending the money besides to say that, hey, we're the Dodgers and we're going to spend all the money we possibly can. It's just for show at that point to say, this is what we do. We're the new Yankees. And yeah. That's how we spend money and just fucking deal with it. So, yeah. I mean, cool, good for them. I think Girardi's going to stay with the Yankees next year.
Yeah,
I think, just
where I was going.
Yeah, I think A-Rod is going to end up getting a suspension reduced, and you're going to hear me bitch about it next year when we're doing
it. It's going to be it's going to be 60 to 100 games.
I don't even think it's going to be that. I think you're going to see 50 games, which is bullshit because Ryan Braun got 60 or 62 or something like that. I mean, I think that's not going to end up being that big of a deal. I think Jeter needs to retire. I love Derek Jeter. I've said it. If I like three Yankees, it's Rivera, Jeter, and Ruth. And I like Jeter. He's a good guy. He's not a scumbag.
Oh, Jeter's coming back next year. You damn well bet he's going to get that retirement tour too.
I mean, I think he will, but like he needs to give it up. And I know he doesn't want to, but like
I think next year he comes back as strictly a DH.
That would be good for him. And I mean, do that and then coach. He would be a great coach.
I don't think he'll coach. I think he'll be like a front office guy.
Maybe. I mean, the man knows baseball very well, but like the Yankees are going to a weird place right now.
They're in a rebuilding state, and that's weird for the Yankees because usually the Yankees don't rebuild. They just reload.
They call
and that's always been their mantra. We don't rebuild. We just go and fill everybody in with the money. We throw a bunch of money at people, and then we bring players in. I think currently, they're kind of trending the other way. I think they're seeing how all these teams have done it, where they're trying to build teams through farm system, where they're trying to develop players. And I think maybe they're heading in a new direction. So I'm almost going to say that this is like the new rebuilding Yankees, and that's why I still think that Cano is somewhat shaky. I do think that Girardi will come back because I think for the most part the circus is going to be gone next year. There's going to be not much of the A-Rod stuff to deal with. And I think if there's anybody that's a perfect fit for New York and that team, it's Girardi.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I don't think he's going anywhere, but if he does go somewhere, for God's sakes, I hope it's the Nationals.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, I like Girardi. I don't have a problem with him. Hopefully he does.
I love Girardi. I would love it if the freaking Tigers would get rid of Leland and bring Girardi in.
Well, the Tigers need to get Leland.
Yeah, there's always Gardenhire. They can get Gardenhire. I mean, I don't want to go off on that, but
I would like that. I like Gardenhire. I mean, obviously,
Gardenhire is a great manager.
Yeah, obviously,
he hasn't had anybody to work with because half his team's either been injured or he's fucking got some shitty minor league players that he's dealing with right now.
Yeah, I mean, I just think Leland needs to give it up. I mean, I know he doesn't want to, and he claims that he can go another 70 years and all that bullshit.
I think Leland's going to be back next year, especially if they make the World Series. Because what happens is everybody wants Leland gone, and then as soon as they make the playoffs, they're like, oh, well, maybe he should stay. And then they get back to the World Series. It's like, all right, let's re-sign him for another year. And it happens every goddamn year. And I've wanted him gone for a while. I would love to see maybe somebody like Gardenhire, maybe somebody like a Ron Washington, just somebody new.
Washington would be fucking awesome in Detroit. Yeah,
right?
That would be...
He's so free-spirited and just loves, he's just got that cool little swag to him.
Yeah.
I guess. And then Gardenhire has been one of the best managers in baseball for however long. And then you never know. There might be Mike Socha that might get dangled out there. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean...
Davey Johnson. Davey Johnson's not a bad manager.
Yeah.
She's had his ups and downs. She's had a talented lineup, and I think maybe that's helped him. But there's going to be a ton of managers that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of moves happening. It's going to be a fun offseason.
But yeah, to sum up our whole Yankee theme here for the little segment we got going on here, it's going to be a completely different team, and I don't think they're going to be too relevant for the next couple of years. Obviously, they've still got Sabathia, and they're going to have some good pitching. Kuroda.
Kuroda's awesome.
But I mean, they've got an aging Teixeira. Who knows? Granderson's as good as gone. You might as well just send him to Chicago and pack his stuff and ship him out there right now. But it's going to be a much different look from the Yankees.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I don't really know where it's going from here. Cool, good for them. Enough of the Yankees. We didn't talk about it a ton, but Manny Machado tore his ACL today. He's going to be out at least for the rest of the season, probably the bulk of next season.
Definitely for this season.
Oh yeah, I mean,
he comes back.
Yeah,
it doesn't even matter for the short term of Baltimore because they're out of it. I don't think they're going to catch anybody.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it doesn't fucking matter because.
But Machado is Baltimore's future. Yeah. I mean, he's one of their big name hitters. He's all but their headlining third baseman, and I mean, and this kind of hurts him because he's probably good. He probably won't be back shortly. Maybe if he makes a speedy recovery, it's going to be after the All-Star break. If not, it could be all of next season.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Davis won't repeat what he did this year. I mean, he hit 36 last year and 52 this year so far, probably more like 55 by the end of the year. But, I mean, you're not going to see them do it again with Chris Davis like that. So Machado is the future.
Do you think Chris Davis is the MVP right now?
Of the American League?
Yeah. Granted, you know what's going on with Cabrera right now.
Oh, I wouldn't say Cabrera's MVP at all. I mean, even with I don't know. Yeah.
I think Chris Davis has got to be probably the front runner right now.
Yeah,
for me. If not, it's Scherzer.
I was just gonna say maybe Scherzer. At one point in time, I would have made a really strong argument for you, Darvish, but his team just sucks.
His team is yeah.
It's not his fault.
So he's out. I think right now it's between Davis and Scherzer, and I think it's probably going to be Davis.
Maybe yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah, I would be fine with either team.
The only reason it could be Scherzer is because
he's awesome.
The Baltimore Orioles aren't going to make the playoffs, and Scherzer's got 20 wins and 2 losses.
Yeah, I mean, I would be okay with either of them. I wouldn't like argue. I would be like, oh yeah, that makes total sense. Like, why wouldn't it be either of those guys?
Right. Well, that's our show for this week. Just a reminder, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Wood with Handles.
Once you're there, wherever you're listening to this, whether it be iTunes or YouTube, actually this probably won't be on YouTube because I am moving, so I don't have time to do that right now. But if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, or I know we're uploaded on a bunch of different websites that I'm not even going to list off to the top of my head right now, but wherever you listen to this, if there's a way to rate it or share it or like it or save it or subscribe, do it. It takes one click of a button, and it really, really helps us out.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Josh. Thanks for listening.